Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. I'm Isabel Hardman and this is the Sunday Roundup. This year's final roundup follows a turbulent week for the government, which saw the date for Parliament's meaningful vote on the Brexit deal pushed back until mid-January, and then found the Prime Minister undergoing a vote of confidence in her leadership of the Conservative Party, which she won by 200 votes to 117. Andrew Marr sat down with the International Trade Secretary, Liam Fox, to discuss where things went from here.
If there isn't a further big shift in Brussels, we are heading towards no deal inexorably, aren't we?
Or there's another shift in Parliament. And one of the things that is becoming an impediment to this is that the Labour Party are effectively being whipped against any of the options. And I know a lot of Labour MPs who are actually sympathetic with the government's proposals, who would vote for it if they were allowed to do so.
But that's not going to happen. They're not going to break the party whip to save the Conservative government.
Well, that's a decision for them, because they say they honour the result of the referendum, but they're putting the institution of what they see as potential chaos and the inevitable consequence of a general election ahead of what voters actually did on the referendum.
What about a free vote of all MPs in that case? Shouldn't Tory MPs also be allowed a free vote?
Well, that's not something that we have considered. I have to say, personally, I wouldn't have a huge problem with Parliament as a whole having a say on what the options were, because it wasn't the government that was given an instruction by the referendum.
It was Parliament.
It was Parliament. Parliament said in that referendum, we can't make a decision. We are going to, on this particular area, we're going to subcontract our sovereignty to the people. And they gave us an instruction.
Well, that's
it's time Parliament carried it out.
So that's very interesting, because if the Conservatives said, you know, on our side we think it's for all of Parliament and it's going to be a free vote, it's much harder for the opposition parties then to whip. So the suggestion that all of Parliament would vote on a free vote on this is a new one, but not an interesting one.
And not one that, to be frank, Cabinet has discussed yet. But I think
it'll be a busy Monday.
But I think when you look at the options that we have, we've got to recognise that there are, as you said, a limited number of real-world options here. No Brexit, which would be a betrayal of the voters, and I think an affront to our democratic process, and a dangerous one. Secondly, the deal that the Prime Minister has negotiated, if we can get it into a shape MPs are happy with, or no Brexit. There are no other options there.
Earlier in the day, Sophie Ridge spoke to Scotland's First Minister, Nicola Sturgeon, about how the SNP would react to the government delaying Parliament's meaningful vote. Sturgeon was straight to the point.
It looks almost impossible for the government to get its Brexit deal through. Labour haven't committed to calling a confidence motion in the government, so will the SNP?
We think Labour should table a confidence motion, and I said last week if it does so, the SNP will support that. I think it is possible that a confidence motion right now could succeed. This is a government that is weak and unstable and becoming more weak and unstable with every day that passes. But even if it didn't pass and succeed at the first time of asking, there is another merit in having a confidence motion called just now, because it would help clarify Labour's position. You know, Labour's position right now is that it won't back a second EU referendum until it has tried and failed to trigger a general election. But if it won't try to trigger a general election, then we're in this catch-22 position. And it seems to me right now that Labour is as much a barrier to making progress on Brexit as the Tories are. So we think there should be a confidence motion, and we'll continue to talk to other opposition parties.
If you think there should be a confidence motion, why doesn't the SNP call one?
Well, we will continue to consider that as an option, but as you probably know, the SNP could table a motion, but the only party that is guaranteed to have that motion called for debate in the House of Commons and to have a vote on it is the official opposition party.
But so you can table it makes.
We can table a motion and we may well do that, but we want to do more than just have a gesture around this. We actually want to bring this to a vote. And therefore, it seems to me that Labour doing it is the best and, in fact, the only guaranteed way of doing that. And, of course, it stands to reason. I mean, this is a pretty obvious point I'm about to make, that without the support of the official opposition party, then clearly that's not going to succeed. So let me be very clear. The SNP will keep all options open, and if Labour won't act, then we are prepared to act.
However, the Shadow Communities Secretary, Andrew Gwynn, told Marr that Labour had other things on its mind first.
Are you going to try to bring down this government before Christmas?
Well, look, the main thing that we want next week is to have that meaningful vote on the withdrawal agreement. We were promised it last week. It was pulled. We want it before Christmas. Parliament has to decide whether or not it supports the Prime Minister's deal. We will assess our tactics on a day-to-day basis, but fundamentally, we've secured that meaningful vote for Parliament. We can't move to the next stage until Parliament has decided whether or not to back the Prime Minister's deal.
So to be absolutely crystal clear, you will not put down a motion of no confidence in this government until you've had the meaningful vote on the Brexit arrangements?
Well, we think that that's the next logical step, right, because we want to make sure that Parliament has its say on what is a catastrophically bad deal for this country. We can then move on beyond that. But, you know, I'm not interested in the theatrics of what goes in the on in the House of Commons. I want to make sure that Parliament takes that control of this process and has a say on Theresa May's deal.
The problem is, when you say Parliament takes control, on your argument, it's really Theresa May who has control, because she can decide when she has that meaningful vote. And all the signs are that that won't happen until the middle of January. So what we are saying is that, from your point of view, the government is safe until Christmas at least.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. And we will be using whatever mechanisms we have at our disposal next week to try and force the government to bring forward that deal for a vote before Christmas. Because, Andrew, this is absolutely crucial.
How do you force the government to bring forward a vote?
Well, there are a number of mechanisms that we can use, and I'm not going to explain parliamentary tactics on live TV, but we will be using everything at our disposal next week to try and force the government to bring that deal before Parliament, before we rise for Christmas.
Sophie Ridge asked the Education Secretary Damien Hines about why the Conservatives had restored the whip to two MPs ahead of last week's confidence vote. Andrew Griffiths and Charlie Elphick were suspended after allegations of sexual misconduct, which both of them deny.
We had the confidence motion in the Prime Minister. At that time, the Conservative Party decided to restore the whip to two MPs who had been suspended. One of them is still under investigation by police for allegations of sexual offences, something that he denies. The other was resigned after sending hundreds of explicit messages to two women in his constituency, including, "I can't wait to beat her, can she take a beating?" Are you proud that the whip was restored to those two men?
Well, in those two cases, I mean, those two colleagues, I mean, were elected as Conservative MPs, and they're there to represent their constituents. And so I think it is right that in the election for, the confidence vote that there was, that I think it's right that they should have been able to be part of that vote as their constituents would expect.
And finally, the prominent Labour Brexiteer Kate Hoey has not pulled her punches when it comes to her criticism of the EU.
Earlier this week, you said, we didn't spend 30 years in Northern Ireland stopping IRA terrorists killing soldiers, police and civilians in order to get a united Ireland to allow a few jumped-up EU bureaucrats and a complicit Prime Minister to try and do the same thing by the back door. Is it responsible to compare the aims of the Prime Minister to that of the IRA?
Well, I think what is behind that, and you have to see it in the context, is that as Northern Ireland is left, once supposedly this deal will go through, and Northern Ireland would be left in the customs union, there is no one in Northern Ireland elected to speak for the people of Northern Ireland. So the country that would be speaking for Northern Ireland is the Irish Republic. And ultimately, as divergence happens and Great Britain decides to go on different rules and changes things, Northern Ireland would be left behind. And this is not acceptable, because this is another way of actually driving Northern Ireland out of the United Kingdom. And I do genuinely find it very dangerous. I mean, and the whole idea that somehow a hard border is needed, when time after time customs experts from both sides have said it's not, with goodwill. The goodwill hasn't been there because the Irish government and the European Union have connived together to see this as a way of keeping the United Kingdom in as close as possible a relationship with the United Kingdom, with the EU, and taking our money.
That's all for this week, and indeed this year. I'm Isabel Hardman, and this podcast was produced by Matthew Taylor. Don't forget to subscribe to the Coffee House Shots podcast on the iTunes store. And we also have a special offer. For a limited time only, you can try a month of The Spectator in print and online for free. Just visit spectator.co.uk/trial. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do subscribe to my daily evening blend email. It's a free roundup of all the political news each day, along with analysis and a diary on what to expect next. just go to spectator.co.uk/eveningblend. Thanks for listening, and do join me again in 2019.